This is my father's word. The battle is not.
For prayer. Father, the creator of all that is, we praise you for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity, who we worship today and every day. We thank you that you have made all things that exist. Nothing exists that you did not make. Father, we thank you that you knew us before we were even conceived, before you created the world. You knew who we are, who we would be. And Father, we thank you that you love us anyway, knowing all of those facts. And we praise you that you knew the problem we would face as fallen, sinful human beings, that the only way we could be with you forever and to escape the judgment that we rightly deserve is if the Lord Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, would come down, be born of the Virgin Mary, live among us, and then offer up his life as a sacrifice in our place. And he did all of that. Father, we praise you for Jesus. We thank you for the salvation he offers freely as a gift. But we need to accept it. We need to trust in him to receive that salvation. And Father, it's our prayer that everyone here today does know you. If there is anyone here or that will come during the service that does not know you, that you will speak to their hearts and show them their need of Jesus, their need to trust in him and to be born again by your Spirit. Father, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is here, and we pray that he would fill each one of us and guide us through this hour. May your purposes be fulfilled in each heart and life. Bless Pastor, fill him with your Spirit, and fill him with your power as he proclaims the word today. And we pray that all that is said and done in this hour will bring honor and glory to your name, lift high the name of Jesus, encourage our hearts, challenge us, whatever we need, and draw us closer to you and one another. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
From Psalm 139. Here we are. Just 1 minute. So, beginning at verse number 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassedest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. And if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father in heaven, it's mind-boggling to think of you, to know who you are and your majesty and your righteousness, your holiness, your goodness, your grace. And Lord, we know that you are perfectly sinless, apart from sin. We so often, our Father, are tainted. We pray that you will strengthen us and help us not to fall prey to temptations. Help us to walk in fellowship with you and do your will. And Lord, on this special day, Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, we want to especially pray that your will might be done regarding this matter, life. Lord, we want to see true life. These children that are so mercilessly killed. It's just, it's hard to imagine all that's going on, even here in this civilized nation. And we pray, dear God, that you would help us to look to you and find the answers that we need, that we might preserve life. Life throughout our total existence, Lord, from before from conception until the end of life here on earth, we should care for one another. And I pray that you would truly bless and have your own way today in all that we do. We thank you for Genesis and for places like that. We know there are a number of them throughout the country and throughout the world. And we thank you for each and one who is seeking to preserve life and help people in their times of need, whatever that might be. So, Lord, we just ask you to bless in a very special way today. Guide and direct us, lead us, keep us in your care. Be with those who are going through difficult times right now, that they might find the peace of God that passes all understanding. May your will be done, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together and turn to hymn number 451, 451, and we'll sing.
The Lord is saying here, he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. The Lord presented Israel with a choice: life or death for them and their children. If they chose to love the Lord, and obey him, they would enjoy his life and blessing. If not, they would face death and cursing. Very obvious difference. Today we face a similar choice regarding our relationship with God, and especially in our nation, thinking about this. Now, we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive him as our Lord and Savior, and we seek to live for him and serve him, yes. But he's saying here, will we choose to love and obey him or not? Many have chosen the wrong pathway, I think. In regard to abortion, is there any question about God's will? You think God is in favor or against? Or are there exceptions? We find he is very clear in stating that human life is sacred. I read a sermon some time ago entitled, Is Abortion Murder? And that's certainly a hot topic, hot potato, if you will. Abortion, according to the dictionary, is the induced termination of pregnancy involving expulsion and destruction of the embryo or fetus, especially before it is capable of survival. That's quite a definition, huh? It says, what is an embryo? What is a fetus? There are stages of development of a human being from conception to birth. Murder is defined as the unlawful killing of one human by another. So according to our laws, abortion is not murder. Because legally, it's not considered murder. But according to God's word, what does he say? It's unlawful to take the life of another human being. An innocent life is taken by another human being. Call it what you will, it is forbidden by God. Thou shalt not kill. C. Everett Koop, former U.S. Surgeon General, had this to say. He said, I would like to suggest to you that we are a schizophrenic society. We will fly a deformed baby 400 miles by airplane to perform a series of remarkable operations on such a youngster, knowing full well that the end result will be far less than a complete cure. We'll stop a cholera epidemic by vaccine in a country unable to feed itself so that the people can survive cholera in order to die of starvation. While we struggle to save the life of a 3-pound baby in a hospital such as mine next door, in the university hospital, obstetricians are destroying infants yet unborn. Does that make sense? Is that logical? No, he says, people just have a strange way of looking at things, I guess. The sanctity of human life. One of the subjects that's so important, and I think we have made some possible strides towards avoiding the terrible sin of abortion, and yet it continues on, doesn't it? Many prefer to avoid it, but we are going to consider it today, of the life of a human being. Is it any more valuable than that of any other animal or any animal? We don't think of human beings as being animals. We are special creations of God that he has made in his own image. But there are many opinions on this. Is the life of a baby more important than that of a, I don't know, a humpback whale or a seal? I'm not saying we should do anything to destroy these animals. Certainly they're important. God made them as well. But what about this matter of abortion? Human life, it says, is sacred because man is made in the image of God. And we had some of this in Sunday school this morning, but in Genesis 1, 26, it says, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the cattle, the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. See? Boys and girls, men and women are created in the image of God. And they're special. Each and every one are special creations of God. He created Adam from the dust of the earth, as you remember. He created Eve from one of the bones out of Adam's side. He commanded them to reproduce and fill the earth with their offspring. This is the command of God. The first murder brought God's curse upon Cain. You remember the very first person born into this world became a murderer, killing his brother because he didn't agree with some of the things that he did about his sacrifice and about the acceptance of God. God's blessing was withheld from his life and his work. You remember what happened to Cain? This was before God said that a man should die for the killing someone else. But he sent him out, it said, to the land of Nod. I'm not sure where that is, but anyway, he sent him out there as a wanderer. He sent him into exile, away from his home, away from his family, became a fugitive, always looking over his shoulder and a wanderer, and yet God protected him. He wouldn't let him die, but he made him continue on. He was marked for life, for his protection, yes, but also for his shame, pointing out the fact that he was a murderer. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. He refused to repent when the Lord gave him the opportunity, and apparently he never changed his way of living. He never came to Christ or to God. He became the father of a godless society and, as far as we know, never repented, but died in his sin. That's a tragic situation, isn't it? The very first person born into this world. After the great flood, God made a covenant with Noah. One part of it speaks of the sanctity of human life. Genesis 9, let's take a look there for a minute. Genesis 9, verse 5. And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. Again and again, that same emphasis is put forth. In the image of God, and man is not to be put down, not to be considered unnecessary. Each and every person has the place that God has given to to them, every human being. Made in the image of God, human life is precious to him. The one who murders another person must answer to God. Verse 6 teaches us that capital punishment is correct. Although God values every life, he requires that the murderer be put to death. That's what it says in the scripture. Later in the law, God says plainly, thou shalt not kill, or thou shalt not murder. Allowances were made for accidental or unintentional killings in the law of Moses, but not deliberate murders. Look with me at Exodus 21. Exodus chapter 21 and verse 13. Or verse 12. It says, he that smiteth a man so that he dies shall be surely put to death. Okay. And if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, deceit, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die. And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. So there's a sanctity to human life. We are not to consider it unnecessary or unimportant. So is abortion murder? Well, according to the dictionary, murder is the unlawful killing of one human by another. Man has declared that it is lawful to kill an unborn baby. But does that make it right in God's sight? Who is man? Yeah, right? Says that in one of the Psalms, that you're mindful of him. Man cannot make these decisions. This is God's decision. It's destroying an innocent life God has allowed to come into being, and one who is made in his image. So, we ask in Sunday school this morning, Brother Steve asked, when does life begin? Well, come on, go to Psalm 139, a portion I read earlier, and we find that, life begins at conception. In 139 verse 13, it says, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I love that expression. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Notice verse 15. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in the book all my members were written. Excuse me. Which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. I have this devotional by Brother Morris, and he says here, this is an amazing verse, testifying as it does to the omniscient foreplanning of our Creator for each human being. Each person has been separately planned by God before he or she was ever conceived. His eyes oversaw our unperfect substance. It doesn't say imperfect, it says unperfect. Yeah, there's a difference. He says our embryo. That, you know, substance, whatever it is, before the baby even takes shape. Unperfect substance. Not only will its members, but also all its days, the literal implication of in continuance, had been written in God's book long ago. So here we have God speaking about the unborn baby. He knew this baby while it was in its mother's womb and even before. Look with me, if you would, in Jeremiah chapter 1, just for a second here. Speaking about the prophet. This is amazing. Verse 4, chapter 1. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Before he was born. Huh? God already had his plan for Jeremiah to be the great prophet that he was. God planned his life before he was even born. And over in the book of Luke, we find with Mary and Jesus being born of Mary. And here we have Mary went to visit Elizabeth here in Luke chapter 1. And verse 39, when she found out that she was a special vessel that God had chosen to bring the Christ into the world, she went to see this relative, Elizabeth, and to find out that how she's doing with the child that she's about to bring forth. And so here we find that Mary went to visit her and found out. And then down in verse 41 it says, came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Wow. That's amazing, isn't it? And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And how is it that this mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Can you think of that? The baby in the womb of its mother, filled with joy. And it said that John the Baptist, now I don't know how you explain all this. I don't. This is the sovereign hand of God. Let's put it that way, huh? He was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Wow. What does that do to our theology, folks? Anyway, we know we have to receive Jesus as our Savior in order to go to heaven, don't we? But here we find this remarkable truth that God oversees our lives from before we're even created. He brings us to be. And places us in our mother's womb, and then leads and guides in our life. What God decides to start, he doesn't give us the liberty to decide to end. Right? We don't have that privilege. We don't have that choice. He said, you know, we read at the beginning, choose life. You know, that's our choice, isn't it? Either life or death. There's nothing in between. Life or death. Which one are you going to choose? God says that all life is sacred, all human life. Again, Dr. Koop said in his 35 years in medicine, he has never seen one case where abortion was necessary to save a woman's life. Most abortions are performed for reasons of convenience, to avoid embarrassment, or to solve a problem. God loves what he sees in the womb, although the infant is tainted by sin. You know, in sin did my mother conceive me. You know, we're all imperfect or unperfect. But God loves us, and he will help us. God loves people so much, he wants everyone on earth to live with him forever. Is that what he says? That he wants to give us eternal life. He wants us to be saved by the grace of God. He wants us to receive the Lord Jesus and know that we have salvation. It says, the Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See? That's it. Repent of your sin, put your faith in Christ, and trust in him. And it's a chorus I used to hear years ago. I haven't heard it for a long time now, but I think it's good. It says, God loves people more than anything. God loves people more than anything. More than anything you'd ever know. He'd rather die than let them go. God loves people more than anything. That includes all people of all ages, unborn babies in the womb, and old people in the retirement villages, and nursing homes, and everyone in between. God loves us. And that should be something to perk us up a little bit. Think of that. God loves you, and he loves me. And we can count on that and seek to know him, to love him, to serve him. That's the main thing. Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Have you trusted in him? Have you put your faith in him? Are you saved? That's the question. If not, you can do it today. So whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All you have to do is believe, trust in him, and know that he died for you and arose again, and we have eternal life through him. He's ready to receive you and give you the everlasting life that he wants for each and every one of us. Father, we thank you this morning for your word to our hearts. And as we think of the sanctity of human life, it's hard to understand all the situations of life, and yet you do. You do. And you are there to help us through each and every one. Help us, our Father, to put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and follow him day by day. Thank you for all your grace and mercy to us, and lead us by your Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name.